Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Stand back, everyone. To infinity and beyond.
Well, when Buzz Lightyear said those immortal words in 1995, the world of film was changed forever. Since that day, Pixar films have been winning the hearts of moviegoers around the world. But the secret to their success isn't just their marketable characters and cutting-edge CGI. According to philosopher Robert Velarde, Pixar films work because they're founded on virtues and timeless wisdom. He's the author of The Wisdom of Pixar, and he's with us now. G'day, Robert. Welcome to Open House.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
This is a really great little book you've got here, and I think it's a fascinating exploration of virtue. Let's talk about that in just a second. But Pixar, what many people wouldn't realize is that, Toy Story came out in 1995, and we all were kind of amazed by what they had done with the computer graphics and everything else. But they'd been around for, what, almost a decade before that, hadn't they?
That's correct. Pixar actually came out of Lucasfilm, which, of course, associated with George Lucas with the Star Wars films and much success with those. And in 1986, Pixar established itself as a separate company. They were purchased from Lucasfilm by Steve Jobs of Apple, and since then they went on to some great success. And in fact, in 2006, Pixar was purchased by Disney for a whopping sum of more than $7 billion, U.S. dollars. So the company has certainly come a long way since they've started in the 80s.
Boy, that Steve Jobs has his fingers everywhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he picked a winner there with Pixar, that's for sure.
He certainly did. And the short film that you often see at the beginning of a Pixar film, that actually has a bit of a history with the company too.
Yes, that's correct. The lamp that you see, the model of the lamp is a Luxo lamp, and it's from a very famous short film that Pixar did that was directed and created by John Lasseter, who is now the chief creative officer at Disney Animation and also at Pixar. And it was an Academy Award-winning computer-generated film called Luxo Jr.
Hmm. So what was it, just a couple of minutes or something like that?
That's right, yeah, just a couple of short minutes. But at the time, it was certainly a phenomenal breakthrough in computer animation. And I think what took people by surprise the most when Luxo Jr. came out was the fact that John Lasseter was able to animate these characters. There's just two lamps in the story and a ball, and the two lamps gave these gestures and appearances that made people believe them as characters, and I think that was a big step forward in making computer-generated movies that people would buy into and believe and enjoy.
Now, you have said that it's not just simply, you know, the breakthroughs in CGI that make the Pixar films work. It's because of this return to virtue. In fact, you say, quote, "They call our attention back to the almost forgotten world of virtue, yet the films don't preach to us." Now, why virtue? What is going on? Certainly, it's not a Christian company or anything like that. But as you've displayed in this book, and we'll explore in just a few moments, they really are rich in virtue.
Yes, they are. I think so. And certainly by virtue, I would say as a philosopher, just to put it in simpler terms, we're really talking about moral goodness or moral excellence, things that are very much praiseworthy, I suppose, or things that we strive for in our moral characters. And these are things that are universal, certainly, as part of the human experience. But I really do see Pixar tapping into some what I call classic Christian virtues. These would be things like justice and courage and hope and love. These are very traditional, very ancient Christian virtues, maybe originated more from Aristotle or Plato, but certainly fit in well with Christian ideology. And particularly love, of course, would be one of the foundations of Christian ethics. And as you said, while Pixar is not a Christian company, they certainly do have some Christian individuals working there. Some of them fairly prominent individuals such as Andrew Stanton and Pete Docter, who directed movies such as Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo and Up, and I'm thinking of Wall-E as well. Mm. So there's certainly some influence there, but they are far from being an overtly Christian company and certainly aren't preachy about it when the directors have that role.
Yes. Now, when Jesus was walking the earth, he used the parable as a teaching method. He didn't so much preach and say, do this and do that. He actually gave stories and then kind of invited people to understand what they meant and then live out as a result of those. You're saying that Pixar films in many ways are kind of like modern-day parables?
I think so. I think there's a lot in there that we can get, and certainly the storytelling aspect of Pixar films are wonderful and captivating. They spend a lot of time there at Pixar developing their stories and their characters and their settings before they really even begin doing any animating per se on a computer. So they do put a lot of time and thought into that. And, you know, as you mentioned the parables of Christ in the New Testament, I think there's certainly a parallel there today to storytelling by film or by television, in that people are very much captivated by stories. And Jesus had a wonderful way of communicating that way that would engage his listeners in a way that was interesting and memorable, and in a way that wasn't preachy or he didn't lecture out of a textbook. They were just stories that had very good moral lessons at their center.
Open House is what you're listening to. Philosopher Robert Velarde is the author of The Wisdom of Pixar, and we're just talking about the virtues that are actually displayed in Pixar films like WALL-E and Ratatouille and Cars and Up and Finding Nemo. 1-300-40-20-20 for your comments. Openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast too. Let's talk about some of those virtues then that you've explored in the book. Friendship first. You make the point that Pixar films often portray these unexpected friendships, and it's really true. There's a lot of odd couples in these movies. In Up, you've got a grumpy old man who befriends an annoying little Boy Scout kid. In WALL-E, you've got a robot who makes friends with a cockroach. What's happening there?
Well, I think that's a part of the fun of Pixar. It's certainly entertaining. It makes for a good story when you have characters that are different. You've mentioned some already, and I would add to it characters such as Mike and Sully in the Monsters, Inc. movie, you know, this very large, jolly monster in Sully, and you this little green guy with the other character, Mike. And you have it repeated in different instances. Certainly characters like Lightning McQueen and Mater the tow truck in Cars would be an example of very different sorts of characters coming together. And I make the connection in my book on the chapter on friendship to very much how Jesus exemplified that sort of friendship of going out of his way in some instances to befriend those who might be viewed as outcasts of society or those who might not be in the mainstream or the norm of society. And applying that to Christian life, it's very much about reaching out beyond our traditional zones or areas of friendship and looking beyond that. And I think Pixar does a great job of that, talking about friendship. And, of course, they've got the wonderful song, You've Got a Friend in Me, that runs through the Toy Story films. It very much underscores the value of friendship.
I think that's really interesting what you've said there, and particularly thinking about the Christian value of friendship and how it differs from others. We've talked about this before. You go back to Cicero and his ideas of friendship, that it was very much between like-minded people. It was very much about the people you enjoy and maybe even the same kind of status as you, and it was about the strengthening and solidifying of society. Jesus' approach to friendship was very much about these odd couples in many ways, and you do wonder if it wasn't because Pixar films are kind of coming out of a Judeo-Christian worldview simply by being born in the West, and indeed after the time of Christ, whether we'd actually have that same idea of friendship come through their films.
Well, I think there's quite a bit of Christian influence, particularly in Western culture, certainly in a variety of areas, in art and in music and in literature and in even politics and economics. There's a certain trend within Christianity and its influence, whether it's acknowledged or not. And certainly that's the connection I make in the book as far as relating to what I call those classic Christian virtues. And, of course, friendship is an example of love, which is perhaps the supreme Christian virtue, and that Christ called his followers to love God and love others.
All right, let's move on to the virtue of family. Now, it's not completely the stereotypical family unit of, father, mother, and child, as we've seen in Toy Story. I mean, there's no dad evident in the Toy Story movies. But what do the Pixar films actually show about family, from your understanding?
Well, certainly they are prepared as family films, and that is their primary audience. And a number of families, of course, love the Pixar movies, mine included. My four children love going to a new Pixar movie. But I think there's a wonderful aspect to those movies in that they don't portray everything as a perfect situation in families. There are challenges that are faced, obstacles that need to be overcome. I think the best example there There's probably a couple of very good Pixar movies to choose from, although several discuss family. But I think Finding Nemo is one of the best. Mm-hmm. It very much stresses the parent-child relationship with this fish, Marlin, of course, trying to reunite with his son, Nemo. And obviously it has some wonderful portions of that film set in Sydney, so you guys can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And just the struggle of the parent and child relationship is exemplified very well there. The Incredibles, of course, the movie
yes.
Pixar made about superheroes, also deals with a lot of issues between husband and wife and sibling relationships. And I think Up, the recent Pixar film, addresses very much the intimate bond and relationship and the marriage relationship
yes,
that,
yes.
that is going on there.
Yeah, that last one you mentioned there is particularly strong, isn't it? I mean, here you've got this this husband and wife, they can't have kids. I mean, those opening scenes to Up are incredibly moving for anybody, and I think they've probably even won awards or something because they're just so strong. And yet you've got this incredible bond between the husband and wife to the point where, you know, the man in particular is just at a loss when she finally passes away and there's these unfulfilled dreams.
I think that's one of the things that makes Pixar very much appealing to a broad audience, is they're not afraid to deal with some very deep issues. And certainly Up is one where you're grappling with a number of things, including grief and the survival of a spouse after, you know, after a loss of a spouse. And you know, a number of those issues make it a very powerful film. And of course Up was nominated and won for Best Academy Award for Animated Feature Film, and was even nominated for the Best Picture category, which made it only the second animated film to be nominated for that, the other one being Disney's Beauty and the Beast a number of years ago. So, and the music, of course, comes together very well, up winning for Best Score by Michael Giacchino, who's written some wonderful music. I think that there's a lot of factors going into Pixar movies that make them successful, but very much if you don't have the virtue aspect there underlying their films, I think they're certainly not as successful as they would be.
Love your feelings on this. 1-300-40-2020. What virtues, what values have you seen in Pixar films like Up and WALL-E and Finding Nemo and Cars and Toy Story and Ratatouille and Bug's Life and all of those kinds of ones? Love to know. 1-300-40-2020. You can give your comment via Facebook or Twitter as well. This is Open House right across the nation, and we're talking to philosopher Robert Velarde, the author of The Wisdom of Pixar. Before we get into some of the other virtues, I just compare sometimes the work that we see coming out of Pixar and the work that's come out of some of the other production houses that have focused on films for the, you know, the quote-unquote family market. As wonderful as the Shrek films were, and I thought they were great, it's interesting that some of these other children's movies or family movies often sneak in little naughty adult elements. I mean, in Toy Story, you had, was it Pinocchio? He was wearing a G-string or something, you know? You don't right. see that with Pixar. Have you seen, there seems to be a difference between the stuff that comes out of Pixar. You generally have a certain sense of security in what your kids are going to see.
Well, I think there's a certain wholesomeness there in Pixar movies that you don't always find in other films. You know, you mentioned the Shrek ones, where there, a lot of times there's humor in there that is appealing to the adults, as you said. And in Pixar, I don't think you get that, certainly not that kind of humor. You have, I think, in Pixar, a wonderful way of being childlike but not being childish. And in that way, they concentrate on telling very good stories, very wholesome stories. And Pixar is somewhat unique in the industry as well, in that you have a number of individuals at Pixar who have been with the company for many years. They know each other well. They know how to put very good stories together. And, you know, a lot of times in Hollywood, a film will get put together and those who worked on it will disperse and go work on different things. And with Pixar, that hasn't been the case in general. You have a very core group of people, what Pixar calls the brain trust, a small group of individuals who are very much the core of getting Pixar movies together. I had the privilege of visiting Pixar recently, and it's just an amazing way that they have of putting their films together. And these are individuals who enjoy making wonderful technical achievements, telling great stories, but they also make films for themselves and for their own families and children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a difference in how the films turn out.
The virtue of courage. What do you see Pixar films are talking about there?
Well, courage, of course, would be one of the four cardinal virtues in ancient times. And sometimes going by the name Fortitude. And I love the example there in The Incredibles. There's a scene with Frozone, this superhero character who's voiced by Samuel Jackson, who is getting ready to have a wonderful dinner with his wife, and this giant robot just starts attacking the city, and he's looking around all over his apartment to find his super suit so he can go and fight this thing. And I think that's a not only a very funny scene, but it's very much a wonderful example of what I'd call virtue ethics, and that is that Frozone has it in his character already to want to do the right thing, to make the right moral decision. He doesn't have to consult anyone or look up something in a textbook. He already knows what the right thing to do is. And that is very much what virtue ethics is about, cultivating our characters so that we make those right moral decisions when they are presented before us. And certainly by watching Pixar films, you know, we ourselves and children also can learn about how to do the right thing and how to make the right choices.
It's a very good point. You already have it. Those decisions have already been made before you actually face a crisis.
Right.
Yeah, that's the key thing. A Bug's Life would have to be a great thing there too. And Flick is, estranged from the community, and yet he comes back to redeem and liberate the community.
Bug's Life is a great example of a classic Pixar film. Of course, it was their second feature film, came out in 1998, so there was a lot of pressure there to make sure that they were able to make a movie that was as successful as Toy Story had been just a few years before. And I write about A Bug's Life very much in relation to the virtue of justice, another classic cardinal virtue. And it's really a story, of course, about a bunch of ants who are being oppressed by these grasshopper bullies. And at its core, it's about justice, about what's right and what's wrong, and also about Flick, you mentioned, the main character, who is very much a moral reformer. This is someone who goes against the grain of what is sometimes seen as the norm and speaks out against it, and in some cases can make a very big difference, even though it's just one voice among many.
Friendship, family, courage, justice. What about hope?
Hope, I think, is one of the things I discuss in general in relation to Pixar. And that would be one of the Christian virtues. You know, we have the three groupings would be faith, hope, and love. And hope is an underlying principle, really, in Pixar films. If you look at other films, for instance, something like The Dark Knight, of course you have a very well-crafted film, a very gritty, dark story that focuses on really human wretchedness and the difficulties and despair sometimes involved in the darker side of life. And, of course, Pixar is almost the polar opposite of something like that, with the hope that they offer in their films. And if you've seen the most recent one, Toy Story 3, although it grapples with a lot of very serious issues, including dealing with change and in some ways even facing our own mortality, it offers an amount of hope there. And hope, I think, is connected as well to joy.
Right. What about joy then? I mean, I wasn't thinking about asking you about joy. Have you seen, you could say that joy is one of those notes that rings right throughout all of those movies as well.
Well, joy I very much discussed somewhat in my chapter on humor, covers primarily Monsters, Inc. And humor as very much being a virtue in a sense, in that it is related to joy and to delight. And certainly that is something in the Christian worldview that God wants us to have and to pursue, and that we will have in the future as well, in our hope that someday there will be this joy.
Yes, yeah, new heavens and a new earth and a new body and new minds and everything else to boot. You mentioned before about the Christian virtue of love and how that comes through the Pixar films too. I mean, you could say that this would be at a kind of a romantic level that would be throughout a number of the films. Wall-E, of course, you've got the love between the two robots there, which is actually really quite touching when he's watching the old, is it the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers movie, whatever it is he's watching on the TV? I think it's that. But of course, then you've got that more robust approach to love, the self-giving aspects of love. Where have you seen that in Pixar films?
Well, I think that's a recurring theme also. I think one of the strongest films representative of that would be Up. And you have just this old man, of course, Carl Fredrickson, who is very much driven to fulfill his wife's wishes. And her wish being, of course, since a little girl, to have her home there at Paradise Falls in South America. So, you know, not having a better solution, of course. Carl Fredrickson flies his home there like a giant balloon, and his entire purpose is driven by this underlying love. And, of course, at some point in the film, he realizes, well, his life with his wife was the wonderful adventure that she had been wanting. And she sort of releases him from that duty that he feels obliged to travel there. And certainly very touching aspects to that film. And you mentioned WALL-E, of course. The movie I believe they're watching was Hello, Dolly. And you do have an example of love there as well. You mentioned with WALL-E and the robot Eve. And, of course, they're both robots, but they can still communicate very human virtues. And that is one thing Pixar is able to do, whether they are depicting things like cars or monsters or fish or bugs. They're very much human stories, and that is what makes them successful.
So you've said before that you think Pixar films can actually shape and change society. Do you think, is that too strong a phrase to actually use to sum up how you've talked about their films in this book? I mean, can they actually change society?
I think they can contribute positively to culture as a whole. And, you know, whether it's a societal change or not, I think as individuals we can change ourselves positively through learning from Pixar films. I know that myself, as a father of four children, I've learned somewhat from Mr. Incredible, from Marlin in Finding Nemo, from these different examples of, well, you know, what is the balance there as a parent between, say, being very much overprotective, like Marlin was initially, or this other character in Nemo, Crush, the sea turtle, who is a very relaxed sort of parenting style. And I think helping me as a parent to find a balance between those extremes is one way that Pixar can make a difference in society and in culture.
Well, fascinating to talk to you. We'll have new eyes to watch some of these films again. Thanks so much, Robert.
Thanks for having me on.
Robert Velarde, philosopher and author of this book, The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.